Interview with Jim Fregosi, September 11th, 2005, Miller Park, Milwaukee. I think I got the answer to the first question. You're working with the Braves now?
Yeah, I'm Special Assistant General Manager John Scherholz. And basically what I do is I cover all 30 major league clubs, and basically for free agent signings at the end of the year and for trades.
Okay. So you're not doing scouting work per se?
Yeah, well, that's what it entails. Mm-hmm. And right now, advancing two clubs for the playoffs, advancing. I've been here doing Houston, and mm-hmm. I'll do San Diego towards the end of the year because we'll play either one of those two teams.
Right. And where do you currently make your home?
I live in Tarpon Springs, Florida.
Okay, a long way from San Francisco.
Yeah, I moved out of California about in the late 80s, and so I've been down in Florida since.
Okay.
No state taxes and the fishing's good.
That's right. Tell me a little bit about your family background. Both your parents of Italian heritage?
My mother was Irish, and my father was Italian. His father came from the old country in northern Italy. Toscano. And really basically grew up in a basically Italian neighborhood in South San Francisco, California.
Your grandfather went to San Francisco.
Yeah.
So your dad was born there, obviously.
Right.
What did your grandfather do when he came over, do you know?
Produce business.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was had an Italian delicatessen in South San Francisco for many, many years.
When you say South San Francisco, how does that relate to the North Beach area?
It's between the airport in San Francisco and Candlestick Park.
Right.
It's a little fog belt right there called South San Francisco.
Was there a large Italian community?
Yes, very large.
And you grew up there yourself?
Right.
Okay. What was your dad's name?
Archie, A-R-C-H-I-E.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that his real birth name?
Archimo.
A-R-C-I-M-O?
A-R-C-H-E-M-O.
H-E-M-O. Interesting. But everybody called him Archie.
Yeah.
Well, as I mentioned before, you come from a city with a tremendous history. Almost all of the early Italian ballplayers that made it to the major leagues were from San Francisco or Oakland. Ping Bodhi, if you're familiar with him.
Well, the ones that I grew up as a fan of the Pacific Coast League,
right?
Because it wasn't Major League Baseball, of course. Everybody knew Joe D and all the great things that he did throughout his career, and the Crow,
right.
Rossetti, and but they were all. So, I kind of grew up as a Yankee fan because of the reason of DiMaggio.
Is that right? So you were familiar with this heritage even as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Did your family or your dad talk about that?
My dad was a great athlete himself. But at a very young age, he got married when I think my mother was 14 and he was 16 or 18, something like that. So he worked most of the day. He was a worker.
Mm-hmm.
He worked 16 hours a day.
Yeah.
Used to go to the produce market in San Francisco as a little kid. I used to go down to the produce market with him all the time. But he was always a big baseball fan and loved the game and played a lot in that area. In fact, there's a park in South San Francisco named after him.
After your dad?
Yeah. He coached softball in South San Francisco until he was 83 years old.
Oh.
So he was always part of that community. He was part of the, he was a captain of the volunteer fire department of South San Francisco, and he worked for Langendorf Bread as well until he got into the grocery business, which he was in for 40 years.
Did he speak Italian?
Oh, yeah.
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 With you?
You know, when he was funny, He wanted to, he didn't want to speak Italian. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, you, in America, you speak English, you know. But my grandmother and my dad and all the customers that came in the store were mostly all Italian.
Yeah.
So at that time when I was younger, I understood a great deal of Italian because I knew when they were yelling at me that they wanted something.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I had an older brother and older sister. My sister's school teacher. My brother went to USF. And he was at USF all during the great Bill Russell days and all that. So, I grew up with Y.A. Tittle with the 49ers and Bill Russell at USF and Leo Nomellini and Bob St. Clair and Hugh McElhinney, all the great San Francisco 49er players. And then it was a big thrill for me when the Giants came out there.
I imagine your dad being a ball player and a fan, he must have supported you when you were playing ball.
Well, yeah. I mean, every time I hit a home run in the big leagues at 6 o'clock in the morning when the store opened up, all the old-time Italians would come in and have a shot of whiskey with my dad.
You'd open the store at 6?
Oh, yeah. 6 to 6. 6 days a week.
So he never had any qualms about you wanting to be a professional ball player?
No, it really came down. My mother wanted me to go to college. My dad wanted me to play baseball, and they really kind of left it up to me, and I signed a professional contract when I was 17 with the Boston Red Sox.
Well, you signed with the Sox originally.
Yeah. Huh. And I went in the first expansion draft to
California.
To the, that time, Los Angeles Angels.
Right.
Now they're back.
Los Angeles Angels of California.
Of Anaheim, right?
So now when you first came up to the big leagues, or even in minor league ball, were there other Italians you played with, or was there any special affinity, even in the majors, with other ball players because they were Italian?
I think it was always, you know, one of my real heroes was Rocky Colavito.
Yeah, Rocky, yeah.
You know,
you got
but all the Italians really kind of hung out and kind of rooted for each other. And there was such a great heritage from San Francisco Bay Area of Italian players that came out of there. And also the high school I went to in San Mateo. You know, Dan, I don't know if you had Danny Frisello went there, who was killed in a dune buggy accident in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Barry Bonds, John Robinson, Lynn Swan. I can give you names. There's a young guy that's a quarterback for New England right now that went to the same high school by the name of Tom Brady.
Brady.
You know, so I mean, that whole peninsula, San Francisco area, were all really close-knit group. John Bacabella. If you remember him,
sure.
I played against him in high school. Ernie Fazio was another Italian kid that played. We all played in the same league. I played. It was a Catholic athletic league.
So you went to San Mateo High School?
I went to Sarah High School in San Mateo.
Sarah.
Yeah.
Her father, Sarah?
Yeah. Juniper Sarah.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of scholarships to college for football. It was a choice that I eventually made to play pro baseball.
Were you big at that age when you were first signing a pro contract?
Oh, I was small.
Because you were fast, obviously.
Yeah.
All the triples you hit.
Yeah. My first year in big league, I won 63, 165. But I was still, came up at 18 or 19, and I was still growing.
Did you encounter any kind of prejudice as an Italian, either from other players or fans?
None.
No. Any slurs, nobody called you?
Well, I'd say, you know, they call you a Dago or a Whopper, but most of it wasn't an endearing term to call you a Dago. In fact, Bud Ferrillo, who was sports writer for the Herald Examiner in L.A., that headline Super Dago one time, and he got caught a lot of rash.
Writing about you?
Yeah.
Because that's a little late to be using that term in newspapers.
Yeah.
Back in the 20s and 30s, it was very common.
Yeah.
Even in the New York Times, but by the time you were playing.
You know, it's funny that growing up in California was different because there was not a lot of prejudice towards anybody. Mm-hmm. And it was much more difficult for the black player that was going to the East Coast and training in Florida, mm-hmm. or playing in the South. At that time, when I first went to Florida, they still had black-white drinking fountains in the grocery stores. I mean, it was much more difficult for a young black player leaving the atmosphere they had in California and going to the South and playing. You know, a lot of places that wouldn't let them in restaurants and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But I had never really encountered any prejudice towards Italians.
As you look back on your playing career, before we talk about your managerial career, does anything stand out in particular?
You know, I playing on an expansion club, we weren't as good, but I remember back in the early 60s, fought the Yankees for a pennant in the early 60s, and just playing in Yankee Stadium for the first time, and being around major league players and playing in, I was fortunate enough to play in 6 All-Star games, and to be around the great players that were playing then was really a special time for me to have the opportunity knowing some of them, let alone playing with them.
Who stands out in that regard?
Well, you know, Mickey Mantle was great. You know, Brooks Robinson and the type of players that they were, and Elson Howard, Yogi Berra.
Did you get to know Yogi?
Oh, hell yeah. I played for Yogi. Yogi managed me when I was with the Mets.
He was a Mets. What was he like as a manager?
Oh, he was just a wonderful guy. He was a wonderful man. Great, great guy. I used to have to tell him to shut up because whenever I was hitting, he'd be talking to me all the time. I couldn't even concentrate on what the hell I was doing.
He's talking to you from the dugout?
No, from catching.
Oh, when he was catching. Oh, yeah. He did that to everybody.
Oh, I know. He was, I tell you, he was, what is...
What did he say?
Oh, just talking. He was quite a character. He was, as you can see, even by the commercials that he's still doing, he's serious about what he's saying, too. That's what the great part about it. But,
Now, you know, obviously Yogi has the reputation of being not a PhD or a Phi Beta Kappa, and yet I've read and heard that as a baseball man, he had real smarts.
Yeah, he was a guy who could hit away. The thing that amazed me is the size. You know, he was really a small
mm-hmm.
guy
mm-hmm.
to generate the power that he generated. He could hit a ball off his shoe tops or over his head. But, you know, I was fortunate enough to play at a time that it was still a game.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the years that I played in the 60s and 70s. I was, it was not a lifelong career at that time. You know, you were thrilled to death. You had to get 5 years to get a pension. Every time somebody got 5 years and they threw a big party, and you never thought it as working in a game that you could retire at the end of that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you thought of it, you played hard, and the game has changed. The game's changed a lot, and the money's changed the game. But it was a different type of camaraderie in the game.
Spend more time with other players.
Well, you spent more times with newspaper men, more time with umpires, more times with other players. It was really a family. You know, and you're talking about there was 16 teams. You know, and now there's 30 teams, and guys are spread all over. And the competition, there was more kids, more athletes playing baseball than there are now. I think that's the biggest difference.
You mean from the time they're young, playing it continuously?
Yes, and
learning the game.
Not playing all organized, they just played the game. Yeah. As soon as the lights
morning
came up.
Morning to night.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And that's changed. And I don't, when we played, we were all fans of the game. And the organization you were with, that was the one that you wanted to stay with your whole career. There wasn't the free agency involved in it now, and players, you know, hell, I've been in the game for 40-some years, and I need a scorecard to find out where everybody is. And it's a little bit unfortunate. When kids grew up as baseball fans, they had the same heroes for 10, 15 years, and now that's not true anymore.
You mentioned Rocky Colavito earlier. You played with him 1 year, I believe.
No, never did.
No.
No.
He was on the roster when maybe he played part of the year and you played part of the year. I thought there was one overlap, but you did play. You say you signed with the Sox originally, and of course there were some pretty good Italian players with the Sox, like Tony Conigliaro.
Well, I played with Tony.
You played with Tony.
Yeah, Tony after the injury, he came to the Angels. I played on some All-Star games with Rico Petrocelli, who's really a fine man. Being in the Italian Hall of Fame means a lot to me in Chicago.
Oh, sure.
The National Italian Hall of Fame.
But did you, let's talk a little bit about your managing career, because you went right from playing.
I was playing one day, and Buzzy Bavese and Gene Autry called me on the phone and asked me if I was be interested in managing the Angels. And I said, the way I'm hitting, I'll take any job I can get, for Christ's sakes. And I was really, with the Pirates, I was at a team party at Cincinnati on an off day. And I can remember going up to my room, getting a phone call, and coming back down. And I said, well, I'll see you guys later. They said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to go manage the Angels. They went, yeah, sure. And I did a manage the Angels the next day, so it was.
The next day?
Yeah.
Now, do you know, has that ever happened before, where someone's gone from being a player right to being a manager rather than, say, coaching, or?
Well,
it's got to be unusual.
It was unusual, especially during the middle of the season.
You know of anybody else that's done that?
You know, I can't.
Think about it.
I can't answer that question. I don't, maybe somebody on the same team, but change teams.
But you had not been a coach?
No. No, I was still playing.
Had you made it known to people?
I had managed in winter ball in Puerto Rico at a young age.
While you were playing?
In 69 when I was still playing, yeah.
Oh. How long did you do that?
I did it one winter.
That's it?
Yeah.
That was your whole experience. So what do you think they saw in you that determined, because Gene Autry was somebody obviously that wanted desperately to win.
Well, they were bringing somebody back that had a name in the organization, that had some feeling for the organization, had some leadership qualities. So that's why I think they wanted to bring me back.
Hmm. Were you surprised by the call?
Yeah, I had no idea. And
so there'd been no discussion prior to that?
No. But I had, I was fortunate. We finished second the first year I managed. We won the division the second year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, I feel probably as fortunate as anybody could ever be to be involved in something that you love and you care about.
And I kid once in a while about saying, well, I got to go to work. But it's never been work for me.
Is that right?
It's been a labor of love. I've had the opportunity to play on a major league level, to manage and work in front office, and done just about every aspect of the game.
And you still enjoy it, obviously, or you wouldn't be doing it?
Yeah, I do. I enjoy it. I enjoy the camaraderie of the people that are involved in the game. And I'm talking about true people that care about the game. And, you know, sometimes I've always thought about baseball as two circles. One is the circle of concern, and the other one is the circle of influence. Most players and people that have been involved in the game are always in the circle of concern, but very seldom do we ever get in the circle of influence.
What constitutes that circle?
Ownership money, I think.
That was determining the future of the game.
Yeah.
Do you see younger players today as having less of a concern for the game?
Yes.
Or knowledge of the
yes.
history of the game?
And they don't have the loyalty to the organizations that they had in the past. They, you know, because they change. I mean, it goes back to when agents got in the game and the money. Mm-hmm. Where's the money?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's, and I don't blame the players. I don't blame the players. Make as much money as you possibly can. I made the All-Star team four times before I got to $20,000. So, I mean, an opportunity to make. Unfortunately, some of them think they're worth the money they're getting, but it's great that they can play 10 years now and not have to work another day in their life.
Some of them don't have to play that long, do they?
Yeah.
When you went to the White Sox, you replaced La Russa.
Yeah.
What would you say about him as a manager?
Oh, he's had a fantastic career. He's, you know, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame as a manager. It's well deserved. I mean, just the longevity of managing as many consecutive years as he's managed is quite a feat.
Mm-hmm. Other Italian managers. Did you play against? You must have played against Joe Torre.
Oh yeah, I played against Joe. Managed against Joe.
How would you assess him as a manager?
Joe was the perfect guy to manage the New York Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Being from New York, managing the Yankees, and the fabulous run he's had is—it's really unheard of.
Yeah.
And besides that, he's a class guy, and he's also had a great career.
Now, one other manager that you're familiar with is Billy Martin.
I played for Billy. I love Billy. I played for Billy in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Managed against Billy. He asked me to go to work for him a number of times. Probably overall the best between the white lines of anybody I've ever seen.
Your strategy.
I've learned a lot of what to do, and learned a lot of what not to do from Billy. His intensity level. He was a rambunctious little guy, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Tough guy. We got along great, though. I really cared a lot about Billy.
What was it like to play for him?
Oh, I loved playing for Billy.
Yeah.
Me and him used to fight and argue all the time about this and that, but he kept me around for a few years just because he liked me, and he liked me what I did in the clubhouse. So.
Was he obviously Italian? I mean, did he make that known?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think anybody that ever was in the game that was Italian didn't make it known. I have a little 10-year-old daughter that goes around and tells everybody that there's only two kind of people in this world, those that are Italian and those that want to be Italian.
So she's indoctrinated too, you know?
Is her mother Italian?
No. But she is. She's 100% Italian, if you ask her.
Ah. Do you have just the one child?
Oh, no, I have five.
Five?
I have five. My oldest son is the national cross-checker for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh.
He made All-American at University of New Mexico.
Hmm.
I have five grandchildren, five children. Very fortunate man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't young children at home, so.
You what?
I have young children at home yet. I have a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 10-year-old at home.
Good for you. You are Italian. Yeah. So basically, you're what people refer to as a baseball lifer.
I guess after 40-some years, I guess that's what you would say. I don't know. You know what? The toughest transition for me is when I got into the front office was, what do you do from noon until the start of the game? Because I was always in a clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the toughest transition part for me.
As you mentioned earlier, the camaraderie is such a big part of the game.
It is, you know, and being around young players keep you young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been very fortunate to have managed in four different decades. So I told somebody the other day that I don't want a managing job again until close to 2010 so that I can manage in five different decades. I said, I know if I get hired now, I'd be fired by 2010.
Is that something you would consider again, going back on the field?
Oh, yeah. Really? You know, in the right case scenario. Mm-hmm. You know, it depends on who you're working for.
Yeah.
But I enjoy working for the Braves and working for John Schuerholz. It's a great
organization. How long have you been with them?
5 years.
5 years. In the same position?
Yes.
Yeah, they just keep winning, don't they?
Yeah.
Is that World Series ring you're wearing?
This is when I managed the Phillies.
Yeah, you went to the
and we beat the Braves. And that's when Joe Carter hit the home run and
yeah.
beat us in the World Series.
So is that a league championship ring?
Yeah, National League championship ring.
Was there anything I should be asking you that I'm not thinking of asking you?
No, I just think that it's growing up where I grew up and the people that I had an opportunity that had helped me throughout my young career and being around the people that I've been in has been a very satisfactory lifestyle for me.
Mm-hmm.
I've been fortunate enough to be in the game as long as I have been. And even the ballparks you go to across the country, you're always going to run into somebody that you know and you've been around. And it makes for a very nice lifestyle.
Mason, I wanted to talk a little bit about your dad, if you would.
Okay.
What do you remember most about him, especially when he was playing ball?
Huh. Well, I was pretty young, you know.
Uh-huh.
I know we lived in Northern California.
Right.
And we didn't particularly like making the after school, making the trips back to New York. But, I know we enjoyed going to the ballpark, though.
So you went to the ballpark with him when he was playing?
A lot of times.
Yeah, in the clubhouse?
Yes.
Yeah. What?
Well, they used to allow it then. You know, it was, I don't know what the, they got away from that there for a while.
Right. What do you recall about that?
My older brother, you know, he was work out with him and all that.
Uh-huh. But you were too young to do that?
Well, out on the field, we used to play, a couple guys that always played with us back behind the bat cage.
Right.
And we got to take infield a few times.
Did your dad ever speak about encountering any prejudice against him because he was Italian?
I don't remember that. No, I don't recall anything.
Did he speak much about his Italian
heritage? Not as a player, no. When he was a kid, I guess there was some problem.
Yeah. What do you remember about that, or what did he say?
Well, he grew up in San Francisco. I don't remember exactly. I don't know that he ever said much. I think my mother mentioned a few times.
That what, ethnic slurs, or?
I think so.
Yeah. Did your dad speak much about his Italian heritage?
No.
No. So did you sense growing up as an Italian-American yourself?
Did I what?
Did you have a sense of growing up as an Italian yourself?
I don't know. Not so much.
No. I take it your mom was...
About it. I mean, his parents didn't really speak English.
Right.
You know, my grandparents.
Did your dad speak Italian?
Yes.
But not with you, not with the kids?
No. Unfortunately.
I take it your mom wasn't of Italian heritage?
No.
Okay. Now, how many of you and your brothers actually played organized baseball professionally?
Four.
Well, four of you. You're the only one that made it to the majors, obviously.
Three others also signed the professional contracts, yes.
Right. Played minor league ball?
Yes.
Huh. Now, do you know why your dad was exempt from service in World War II? I haven't been able to find that.
I don't know.
I assume it was because he had a large family to support. I mean, he didn't have any physical disability that kept him out, do you know?
Not that I know of.
Yeah. Well, after he retired, he managed in the minors, then he scouted for the Yanks and Angels. When did he actually retire, do you remember?
No.
About how old was he?
I don't know that.
Hmm.
When he retired?
Yeah. I mean, from scouting and so on.
I was staying on the East Coast mostly. I didn't, you know, really know what he was doing.
Yeah. Now, I know that he was also involved later on in that legal battle to get pension money for players who played before 47. Did he ever talk to you about that?
A little.
Was he bitter about that?
I know he was fairly active in whatever it was they were doing.
Yeah. Now, was he still flying when you recall? I know he was a licensed pilot.
No, I don't know when he gave that up.
Yeah, okay.
I can't remember when he got rid of the plane.
Yeah. But he did have his own plane?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what do you remember about the ranch in California? How big was it?
It was over 1,700 acres.
Wow. A lot of livestock? What was on the ranch?
Cattle, mostly.
Uh-huh. How long did he have the ranch?
Let's see. Quite a few years, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, is that where you grew up yourself?
Until about the, let's see, eighth grade, I guess.
Okay. Now, when you played ball yourself, how aware were you of other Italians in baseball when you played?
Well, there were quite a few, you know.
I think in your first year with the Dodgers, Carl Furillo was still there, right? 1960?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you remember him at all? Did you talk to him much?
No, I didn't talk to him much, no. But I only came up at the end of 60 for a couple weeks.
Was he gone by then, or was he still there?
he was there.
Yeah, because he only played in 8 games that season. But you had Joe Pignatano and Bob Aspromonte were on that team.
Yeah.
Did you have any special rapport with them because they were Italian?
Well, I don't know. Got along with them all right. And Bob and I hung around together some.
Did you refer to each other?
Single at the time.
Yeah. Were ball players still using ethnic terms with each other, like Dago, for example?
Not so much.
No.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You said, maybe among ourselves or something, you know, but the other players, no.
Did you use the term among your other Italians?
I wouldn't, but no. I don't know that there wasn't any... I don't think there was any sense of it being a problem.
Mm-hmm. So you never heard any ethnic slurs directed at you yourself?
Oh, I don't know. From the fans or something?
Yeah, anybody.
Nah. In college, I probably heard a few.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was that?
Stanford.
At Stanford?
Yes, sir.
What do you recall?
Well, you know, they make jokes about everybody they could think of.
Do you remember anything particularly directed at you?
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was some joking going on.
But nothing that really stuck with you, obviously. But...
Well, not really.
Yeah. Your sister mentioned in an email that you were a guest on I've Got a Secret.
Correct.
And when was that? Do you remember? What was your secret?
Well, it wasn't me. It was actually Warren Spahn.
Oh.
And I can't remember the year, but I think I was coaching by then. But anyway, his secret was that he pitched against Dumy and my father both.
Ah, so Spahn was the guest.
Yes.
And that was his secret.
I was just there, and they couldn't get my father to show up.
I gotcha. Now, here's something, a little trivia you might not know. The first mystery guest on I've Got a Secret was Phil Rizzuto.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I sure wouldn't have known that.
The scooter.
Yeah.
So, what do you recall yourself about being a major leaguer? I mean, that must have been a great experience. You were there for, 9 years, right?
Well, 12, actually. I coached.
Oh, yeah.
In Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was a goal reached, you know. It was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, trying to put it in working at an Italian angle, I can't come up with anything that way because there were quite a few playing in those.
Sure.
Italian Americans, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you played with the Dodgers, the same team your dad was with when he won the MVP award.
Yep.
That must have been kind of nice.
Yeah.
Except you were in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's the only way I can remember what year they moved out there.
Yeah.
When I signed, they were still in Brooklyn, and next year they moved out.
That's right. Yeah. But you didn't play until 1960, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I signed in 57.
Okay.
Then played in, the minors. Came up the end of the fourth year.
Did you sign out of Stanford?
Well, sort of. In those days, I think if you're in college or school, you couldn't. So I had to drop out and then sign.
I see.
I decided it was time to get on with it.
Right.
if you finish school and end up with having to do military service, you know, you're almost too old to get started.
Yeah, yeah. When were you coaching with Boston?
70s, early 70s.
How long were you there?
Well, in big leagues for 4 years, and then I ended up coaching in minors for 12.
Okay. And with the Red Sox, were you a base coach?
Bullpen coach.
Bullpen, oh, okay. Who was on the staff back then? Those were kind of lean years for the Sox.
Well, actually, we came very close to winning. Lost by half a game.
Gee.
Because of the strike year, they played uneven number of games. But anyway, in 70, whatever that was. I was there 71, 2.
Yeah.
I was there in Siebert. And, well, Conigliaro was there.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of them. And,
Was Yaz was still playing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Sure.
Sure. So that was, were you gone by the time of Lynn and Rice?
Yes, I was in the minors.
Yeah, you just missed them. Well, I grew up in Massachusetts, so I've always been a Red Sox fan.
Yeah, well, my first, I guess one of my first projects there was working with catchers, and that would have been Carlton Fisk.
Uh-huh. Was he a rookie or just starting?
He wasn't. He was a first year. He got sent to the minors.
Hmm.
Next year, he made the ball club.
Okay. No, you developed into a pretty good player.
Oh. Yeah. But he worked hard. I give him credit for that.
Yeah.
Big kid, and he worked hard.
Yeah, Carlton grew up or was born in the same town in New Hampshire as my father.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, up in North Walpole, Charlestown. I was just up there last week,
yeah.
And they still talk about him up there, of course.
Yeah, well, he's still in the area, I think.
Well, I asked somebody up there, and they thought he was now living in the Chicago area.
Oh, well, he might be.
Yeah.
I say that because I thought he was with the Red Sox there in the front office there for
a while. Well, he did go, that's right, he did go back for a while. And of course, you caught one of Sandy Koufax's no-hitter.
Yes.
That must have been a special day.
Well, yes. And I was probably more nervous than he was the last couple of innings.
Uh-huh. And of course, nobody mentioned it in the dugout, right?
Oh, I don't think so. No, I sure didn't.
Which number was that? Is fourth or
third one? I think
third.
We're in Philadelphia.
Wow.
Or maybe the second one.
Do you still see him at all? Talk to him?
Yeah.
He's kind of a quiet, reclusive guy, or at least that's what they say. But
yeah, he's he doesn't like too much fuss going on.
Right. I mean, I just finished reading that biography of him by Jane Levy a couple of weeks ago. Interesting guy.
Yeah. Yeah, we get along well.
Yeah. Well, let's see, anything else you can recall either about your playing days or about your dad that I haven't thought to ask you?
Well, I know, I think this is funny, but when we were little, you know, and I said we went out to the ballpark.
Yeah.
Okay, and we had a uniform. My older brother had my father's number, which was 4, and I wore number 5, which was Lavagetto's number.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people thought I was his son, apparently.
Cookie.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you remember him at all?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, what was he like?
Oh, he was great with us, you know. Yeah, he used to play with us, you know, catching pepper and let us hit, you know.
Was he a bit of a character, I think?
I've only heard that afterwards. I wouldn't have been able to tell you then, I guess.
Yeah, too young.
Yeah.
And, of course, that was before his big day in the World Series in 47.
Yeah.
You weren't... your dad wasn't, was your dad still with the Dodgers then? No.
No, I don't think so.
He wasn't, right. Okay.
Yeah, but some of those guys were pretty young, you know. They were, you know, Pee Wee and Cookie, they were just young guys then, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they had a great team.
Yeah.
Always sort of second cousin to the Yankees, as was everybody back then.
Yeah.
Are there other, like, did you know DiMaggio at all?
Not really.
Yeah, of course,
no.
Not too many people did.
apparently not.
I got to spend quite a bit of time with Dom DiMaggio. He was out here for the All-Star game in 2002 in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
And Dom was great. I mean, he's very...
well, I met him, of course.
Yeah, very eloquent, and a real nice guy.
Yeah.
A lot more open than his brother, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's true.
What about Tony C? How well did you get to know him?
You know, not real well, but, mm-hmm. you know, we were on the same, you know, I was coaching, but he was, you know, I threw him back practice and this and that.
Yeah.
Hey.
He was kind of a stylish young man, wasn't he?
I think so.
Yeah. Popular with the ladies.
I'm sure there's some truth to that.
Well, that was a shame what happened to him.
Oh, I guess.
He was on his way to a great career.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, injuries, you know, those kind of are easy to see, you know, but injuries takes its toll in baseball.
Well,
a lot of small injuries.
Yeah, they add up. Yeah.
Had enough of those myself.
Yeah, well, especially catching.
That was part of it.
Yeah, spend 9 or 10 years in the majors as a catcher, you're going to be pretty durable.
Well, I don't know. Some of them do it pretty good. I don't know how they manage it, but some of them stay a lot healthier than others.
It's amazing, yeah.
Because I know when I was in Washington, John Orsino came to us in a trade.
Uh-huh.
From Baltimore. And, you know, he had a pretty good year going on one time over there in Baltimore. He had 20 home runs in half a season or something.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he complained about his elbow bothering him, And x-rays weren't showing anything. They finally operated and found a couple of chips in there.
Hmm.
You know, but this time he's, you know, he's missed a lot of playing time. And it's funny, now that today, maybe they could have found it right away, you know, with MRI or something.
Right. Things are a little more primitive then.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I think players were less, were more reluctant to talk about injuries, weren't they? They didn't want to lose their spot. You didn't have those long-term guaranteed contracts.
You are correct about that.
Huh?
I played a few days where, you know, probably shouldn't have been playing, but
yeah.
You know, when basically you catch it, you know, oh yeah.
Because you know there was somebody behind you willing to take your spot.
Well, if you can't play, then what good are you?
Yeah.
You know, they find somebody else.
Yeah, well.
Exactly.
The game has changed.
A lot.
Yeah. Your last year in Washington was 69, I think. Was that Ted Williams' first year there?
Yes. No.
Or did he come in 70?
No, 69.
So, yeah, so you did play under Ted.
69.
What was that like?
Hey, it was great.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. You know, he's an enthusiastic guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he helps. You know, a number of guys.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't too fond of pitchers, though, was he?
No, or umpires or press. Or
especially the press.
Yeah.
I got to talk to him in 91 at his home in Florida, and, you know, he couldn't have been nicer. I think he mellowed as he got older. And, boy, he was a smart guy. He could talk about a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, he got into something. Boy, he kind of got into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we always enjoyed having him, you know, he'd come down to spring training for a while every year there in Winter Haven.
Oh, when you were with the Sox?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I'd spent that 1 year with him. I was kind of odd because we didn't really know each other, and I was under contract when the deal was made for the ball club, and he talked him into managing it. So I was just kind of come with it, you know, the deal.
Right.
And I was still pretty young then, and they weren't sure if I was going to coach or play or what. I ended up getting in a ball game right at the end of the season. Somebody got to come in with a bad hand or whatever it was. But they activated me. Ended up 1-for-3.
All right.
Yeah. Hit 333 for dead.
The only game you played in all season?
Yes.
Wow. That's
pretty
good.
I was a coach up till like the last week of the season.
See, just like falling off a bicycle, you don't forget how to hit, huh?
Well, no. Once in a while I get lucky, that's all.
Oh, jeez. Anything else that I'm not thinking to ask you that you'd like to share?
I can't think of anything.
All right. Well, if I do think of something, could I give you a call again?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate it.
I'll come up with something by then.
Okay, I really appreciate your time.
Okay.
Nice to talk to you.
Good luck with it.
Thanks.
All right, bye.